You would turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Lord willing, we'll go through this chapter this morning and want to remind you that the Apostle Peter is writing against false doctrine, false teachers, and his primary concern to the church is stay with Scripture. Stay with Scripture. Do not go into man's fables and all that, but stay with the Holy Scriptures. Amen, church? You cannot go wrong with staying with the Holy Scriptures. By the way, if you have a problem with that, I wonder if the Holy Spirit is really in you. Okay? So, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your precious word. And, Lord, I ask, please, to speak through me and help me to live, Lord, godly before you. Help me, Lord, to be a witness. I pray this for my church family, Lord, that as we live in these latter days, oh God, may we, Lord, Cooper Baptist Church, draw closer to you and to grow in the Scriptures, to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus and not humanistic philosophy or humanistic self-effort, but to grow in your grace and knowledge, Lord Jesus, to grow in a relationship with you and not in a religion. And may you have all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's get our nose in the Scriptures. Open your Bibles, put your nose in there, or look on the screen. Chapter 3, 2 Peter. I want us to be mindful. The Apostle Peter saying, being mindful of the words which were spoken before the Holy Scriptures. The words that were spoken before the Holy Scriptures. Verse 1, beloved, my brothers and sisters, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by the way of reminder. Again, pure minds, that is the opposite of what the false teachers were teaching. We looked at last Sunday morning how they were deceptive and how they would get into the worldly lusts, and their lust is what drove them. They would teach one thing and live another way. So this is opposite of false teaching. And that is to have a pure mind, to live godly, to think on the things that are pure and lovely and of good report and of virtue. And it's a way of reminder. It's something that in Scripture, God's people is always to be brought into mind, or Scripture tells us to remember. Remember your first love. Remember when you came to Christ. Remember, we always are told to come back and to remember what God has done for you and I. And it says that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. The old covenant was given inspired by God, and God spoke through the prophets, spoke through farmers and kings, the holy men, as it says in chapter 1. The new covenant was spoken through the apostles and given to us. We build upon Jesus Christ, who is the foundation, and upon the doctrine of the apostles. So the new covenant came inspired through the apostles, and we are to come into remembrance, because again, sheep, you and I, can be easily led. We can easily be led astray. Sometimes if we may come in contact with a false teaching, and if we're not in Scripture and growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, we may believe a lie. Or we may become confused. I was sent an email this week by the Clarks, and I'm going to share it with you. There was two hunters out hunting, they came across a great big hole. And they were saying, wow, look at this big hole, and wondering how deep it was. So they threw a stick down in there, couldn't hear it hit the bottom. And there was an old transmission laying over to the side. And they said, let's throw that old transmission down in that deep hole, and we'll find out how deep it is. So they both carried this old transmission over to that hole. And they threw it over in that hole, and they were listening. But they heard a rustle kind of behind them, and they kind of looked back, and there was a goat, and it ran so fast and jumped over in that hole. Well, just seems like a minute later, a farmer comes walking by and says, hey, fellas, have y'all seen a goat? I lost my goat. And the two hunters said, well, it's funny you mention that. We just saw a goat running 100 miles per hour and jumped over in this deep hole. And that farmer said, that's strange, because I had him tied to a transmission. Yeah. Folks, listen. Come back to Scripture. Always be reminded by the Scriptures. If not, you may be just tied to a transmission. Stay with the foundation, who is Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone. And no one can build a life unless you're grounded in Christ and believe His Scriptures. Amen. Because there's some deep holes out there that you can fall into. I could fall into. Easily led astray. Stay with Scriptures. He's reminding us. Verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So the scoffers, the spirit of Antichrist, making fun of Christ and His church, of Christianity, do we live in a day like that? Of course we do. And even the ancestors, especially the Jewish people, their fathers, what did their fathers do? They killed the prophets. They martyred the prophets who gave them the old covenant. So their fathers didn't believe, and now they're scoffing. Well, you said He was the Messiah, and now you're saying He's coming back. Well, where is He? And we live in a world today that they have TV shows and its own national news about a pagan calendar that was supposed to ran out of time back in December and supposed to have been in the world. And we live in a time where false prophets rise up and say Jesus is coming back a certain day and He doesn't come back on that day. And we live in a time where the world is scoffing at His return. Just like the fathers, their fathers did. You see, we are people of faith. People of faith. And He is coming back. Because how do I know that? Because He said He was. His Word says that He is coming back. And from the very beginning of creation, listen to this in verse 5. For this they willfully forget, that by the Word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. So, even in the days of Noah, they scoffed at Noah as he was building the ark, and he was preaching judgment of God is coming. And he built that ark 120 years. He preached to turn and to repent and to trust God. And yet Their imaginations were very wicked, just like the false teachers using and leading astray upon their own lust and what they can get out of it. And he says that even back then, they were scoffing, but we know the story that how God brought judgment with water and flooded the whole earth. Now, you can go over in Texas in them high hills and you can find seashells. You can go find shark's teeth up in the Amwell Hills in Louisiana today. You can tell that on TV they find whole megalithic cities still underwater, that big, huge stones put in place that only giants could have done, or people that were very smart. If you lived to be 800-900 years old, you figure you'd probably know some things by then, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? You'd be pretty smart. That's how long they lived. And now it's all underwater. All underwater. So there's proof that God brought judgment by water. And just as he done that, it says, verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8, but beloved, but you and I, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. In other words, God said He's coming back, and He's coming back. He does not forget what He has said. Just like what He said in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and it has come to pass, this New Covenant that we worship by faith in light, that Jesus is coming back, He's not slack. When I think of the word slack, I think of, in my mind, that tight lining fishing. You ever went catfishing and cast out there a good sinker, and you tight your line real tight and you wait for a catfish to just bend that pole double and you set the hook and try to get it in? But I think when the word slack of fishing like that on a good sandbar on a river, and then seeing that line get real slack, you know what's happening? A catfish or a goo or something done picked it up and is swimming towards you. And what do? You reel in the slack and you set the hook, don't you? Okay? So I think of the word slack that, hey, the line's is getting slack. The line's getting slack. They're scoffers. God's people are getting where they don't care, or they're getting tired, or they're uncommitted, and they need to come back to Scripture, and the line's getting slack. But He's going to be setting the hook. God is not slack concerning what He has said, as some count slackness, but listen about our Lord. But His long-suffering toward us. Everyone say hallelujah. That's a hallelujah line right there. Hallelujah. Long-suffering in the Greek, it's not patience. Patience has to do with a circumstance. Long-suffering has to do with people. Long suffering. That's how you and I are to be with one another. That's how God is towards you and I. Long suffering toward us. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everyone to repent. Please come. Please come to the cross. Repent of your sins and come to the cross. But you know what? Not everyone will. But they're going to receive the judgment of God. You see, He's long-suffering, but what He has said, He will do. He will do. But it seems like in our human minds that we start living day after day, and everything seems to be just like yesterday, and then that goes into weeks and months and then years, and we seem to forget the urgency of the gospel. Come while you can. Come while you can. Live for Him while you can. Verse 10. As we see in light of His return and judgment, what manner of persons ought we to be? Listen to this. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. A thief in the night. Have you ever been robbed? I have. When Alicia and I first got married, we moved up from a little trailer park in Jacksonville, Arkansas, to a duplex, and it had a yard. And when I have a yard, a young boy from Nebo, Louisiana, if he has a place to keep a coon dog or beagles, he'll do it. So I had two beagles. Back then, you could still run deer any place you wanted to. And two beagles, but I bought me a brand new lawnmower. And I'd mow what little grass I had and everything else in the yard from two beagles. And I washed that little lawnmower, kept it clean, because that was mine. It was something that I bought on my own, first got married, and this was mine. And I kept it in the backyard of that duplex. Would you believe this? Where I grew up, you didn't lock your car, you didn't lock your door or nothing. And this old boy left his lawnmower not chained or locked, but just sitting in his backyard kind of underneath an overhang. And guess what happened? A thief came by and took it. And from then on, I started thinking, now I wonder how this could be stolen or how could someone take that? It changed my way of thinking on how thieves operate. Now, God is not a thief. God is open on everything. Okay? He wants us to come to faith in Him. But His return is going to be like a thief in that it's going to be unexpected. It's going to be a time that the world does not expect it. As a thief in the night. When you're asleep, that's in Scripture. It tells us, don't be of the night, but be of the day. Wake up. Don't be asleep. So His return will be like a thief in the night. Verse 10, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, verse 11, since all these things which will be dissolved, all these things, that old barge I inherited in my yard, that old boat that I've been trying to run and fish in every now and then in my backyard, the vehicles I have, the old house I live in, everything I got is going to be dissolved. And I have worked for that. I call it mine. And yet it's going to be gone. Folks, what are you giving all your time to? What a little bad health or sprained knee or broke leg or bad health or economy going bad. All the stuff. What you've been working towards. It's going to be dissolved. No more. And in light of that, how ought we to live? Therefore, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? That's discipleship. That's being a Christian. Yes, we're saved by grace and hallelujah. Now live it. Live it. live for Christ, have holy conduct and godliness, looking for, verse 12, and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, again, we're reminded of the promise three times in this chapter. Look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Live godly in light of His return. Live for Him in holy conduct. So we ought to be diligent. We see in verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. We are responsible. You are responsible to live godly. You're responsible to do it. We have a responsibility. If you're saved by grace this morning, you have a responsibility to live godly. And by the way, if we're diligent about doing this, we have peace. That's peace. It gives us peace. Verse 15, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. He wants all to repent. He's been long suffering to me. He's long suffering to you. He's long suffering to the lost. And we need to be a witness. It is salvation. You see, the goodness of God leads us to what? To repentance. To repentance. As also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them, these things in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. In other words, greasy grace, we're saved by grace, hallelujah, let's live like hell. No, live godly. We're saved by grace. We're not saved by good works, but we're saved unto good works. We're saved to live godly. To live godly. Don't twist it. Do also the rest of the scriptures. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. Be on guard, watch and pray, be steadfast. Being led away with the error of the wicked. Again, we're sheep. We can be led away with error, with the untruth, with heresy. If it is not in this Bible, if it is not Scripture, if it's not found in the Scriptures, don't believe it. Don't believe a lie. Believe the Scriptures. They have been tested and been found true. Verse 18. Everyone say, this is the last verse. Here we are. But you and I. But grow in the grace and knowledge. Again, this word, grace, is the unmerited favor of God. You cannot earn it. You can't drink a little wine and eat a wafer to get it. You can't earn it. It's given to us, to those who will receive it. Grow in this type of grace. Knowledge is experiential knowledge of a relationship. It's more than knowing about someone. It is knowing someone because you've been with them. So grow in this. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that name cannot be substituted with any other name. You hear me? Grow in Jesus. Grow in Him. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Grow. Guard against error and grow in the gospel. Live the gospel. Grow. Grandfathers are supposed to talk about their grandchildren. Y'all know that, right? My little grandson has grown an inch in a week. And is 6 pounds something already. He's growing. That's fast growing, isn't it? In a week's time, half grow an inch. And how proud I am of him growing, eating right and all that. Folks, we have a Heavenly Father that loves you more than I love that grandchild. He wants you to grow in such a way that you grow in such a way that you know Him from spending time with Him. Grow in that. I want to ask you one more question in closing. I don't know about you, but when I take tests, especially the true and false tests, sometimes teachers will try to trick you, won't they? Put just a little word or two in there to make the statement false. But it may sound true, but it's false. Okay? So to study for a true and false test, you must study the correct answers to know if the statement is false or not. Some of it, you better have it memorized if you can. Okay? For you and I to know if something is in error in this life, if some teaching is in error and it's a heresy, it's a fable or something conjured up by man or of the devil, for us to know if it's an error, false, we must study the truth. Study the truth and know the truth, who is Jesus. We got to study this. Grow in it. And if I promise you, if you get in this, you'll know if it's an error or not. You'll know. Listen to the Holy Spirit and you read this. Everyone say amen. Amen. By the way, that's the last word. Amen. So let it be. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you so much for your precious word. Help us, Lord, to grow in it. And to grow in our relationship with you. Lord, I pray, Lord, there's someone here who has trusted something else instead of your promises and your assurance and your security. Whether it's themselves or somebody else they've trusted in or some heresy. I pray, as the good shepherd, God, that you'll touch their heart. Lord, guide them back. Guide them to you. And may they listen to the good shepherd's voice and listen to what you say. Lord, may we live knowing that you're going to come back. We know this. You cannot lie. So help us, Lord, to live in that way that everything else is going to be dissolved. May you have glory. In Jesus' name, amen.